All right, let's go live now. Jason Kanz, I think he's at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds for the best 5 minutes of the day. Continuing on from the Infinity Dance Center recital, it started at 5 o'clock yesterday. Jason, how you holding up out there?
Yeah, I'm holding up well. It's good. I actually was able to make it home last night.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah. It was good, and it was hot and dusty, and some of the parents, and especially the moms, were real troopers out there for Saturday and all day Sunday. And
yeah.
So it was. The couple of hours that we were out there was hot enough for me. So
we mentioned that because your daughter Tessa and for us both Elena and Michael, they were in the 5 o'clock performance, but there was one earlier at 11. So hats off to your wife Heather, who was there with Tessa at both performances. So mom and daughter slugging it out in the heat yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, I was looking around yesterday, and there were definitely going to be some moms who are pretty sore today with the sunburn that they picked up yesterday. So
I was thinking, yeah. I was alongside you in a lawn chair between about 5 o'clock to whenever, and I'm like, yeah, just, and that was the tail end of the day, but you know, it was over 2 hours in the heat there, so.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Well.
No, it was fun. It was fun to watch the dances. Despite the heat, it was fun to watch.
So. Well, you know, that and so many dance studios, I mean, they work at it, and then the big culmination, and sometimes there's competitions along the way, too. So, did you get to see Tessa in any of her competitions?
I did not see her at any of the competitions. So, yeah, and she had, I think, three of those this year, too. So,
you know,
it's nice to be able to catch a breath this morning.
It's not just the dancing, but it's the smiling. I mean, Tessa's bright smile just lights up like the sunshine there when she's on the stage. So,
it does. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was. It that's definitely true, and you can tell she's in her element when she's up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So cool friendship, not just between us, but between our daughters there as well. All right, hey,
absolutely.
Something you've already liked, I shared on Facebook this morning, is spiritually nourishing to share, I think. Rick Britson was a longtime pastor, one of the great preachers I've ever heard, and he's from, for years, he pastored at Bethesda in Eau Claire, and then later he went to, I want to say Staten Island, New York, but he was in New York after 9/11 for a number of years. And but he posted this quote from Brennan Manning this morning. Get your comments on it. I liked it. I said yes to this quote. Define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is the true self. Every other identity is illusion.
Yeah. Well, and you had posted that, and I thought that sounds exactly like something Brennan Manning would have said, and I think it is, actually.
It says Manning on the bottom, yeah, right.
You know, that, and it seems like sometimes we can become really focused on that on this show, and I hope that defines what you and I do in this 5 minutes, is to help people understand that God's love for them is infinite, you know, it's overflowing and abundant. And to understand ourselves in that way as those who are beloved by God, I mean, that's really not only the starting point, but it really carries us through in the Christian life, I think. I think it's so essential to understand that there's nothing that we can do that would remove God's love for us.
And I think, I don't know, ways that we maybe have gone wrong in the past, not that we're not, I agree with the idea that we are sinners, but if you back up, and a lot of your focus on the Celtic tradition seems to be, but first you are fearfully and wonderfully made, but first you are his beloved. And even as I've been applauding, and in all genuineness and sincerity, although the clips you've been putting from Letters to the Beloved that you've been working on, this sort of commentary, not translation, but just kind of this imagined dialogue between you and God through the New Testament. But it seems like it's a combination of Henry Nouwen, Life of the Beloved, Eugene Peterson, Larry Crabb. It is sort of that. And with this quote kind of at the core of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think there's a few things that I'm really hoping come through. And I think that's one of the big core themes that I would hope for is that our starting point is our belovedness. Mm-hmm. you know, I think that's a big piece. I think that our thirst for wholeness and that God is calling us into a life of wholeness also comes out. But, you know, I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, there have been some writers who have influenced me. Yeah, certainly Manning has, Henry Nouwen definitely has, in terms of understanding that beginning point, you know, when God created, he looked at creation and said, "Ah, this is really good." Mm-hmm. You know, in the early chapters of Genesis, it's clear that we are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And our theology, if it removes that from us, not only allows us to treat other people poorly, but it also allows us to treat ourselves poorly. Mm. And I don't think that's God's intent.
Mm. No, that's good stuff, and that kind of sets the table for the next couple of days. So we'll be together through Thursday. I'll be away Friday, but I want to talk more about this. This idea of self-care, and what do you mean by wholeness? We hear you talk about it all the time. So those are a couple of more questions to pursue this week. All right, it's a Monday morning, the WIB Wake-Up Show, and we've got our buddy who is both a counselor and a stand-up comic.
That
multi-talented.
Helps.
Drew Fralick in this great state
of
Michigan.
Drew.
Good morning, Drew.
Hey. Morning.
Did you have a kind of a hot and humid weekend like we did here?
Yeah, it was hot. It was hot. I was sweating. It was burning. So it was very hot.
Well, I introduced our content as a list of the fittest and the fattest cities and of our Wisconsin-Michigan connection here this morning. I guess Wisconsin was at one end of the top end of the list and a large city in Michigan at the bottom. What's the story?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. So my neighbor, she gave me this magazine, Men's Fitness. You
okay.
know, I don't usually read those magazines. And she was like, I was going to throw this magazine away, but you look like, you know, you might want to read some of these articles.
Oh, brother.
So she gave it to me, right? And so I'm reading this article, and it's got the 100 fittest and most out of shape cities in America, right?
Okay.
So number one was Madison, Wisconsin.
As the fittest.
And then dead last was Detroit, Michigan.
Aw.
Ooh.
Well.
So I don't know. It's a hard pill to swallow. I'm like, is Madison really that healthy? Like
they are. They bike a lot.
Yeah.
But is it really that healthy? Because I've been to the Applebee's in Madison, and I there was... at least plenty of people there to bring the average down.
They were visiting.
Okay. So you're trying to wonder, because Madison is often as the number one party school, so you're wondering, how does that fit with that distinction?
The people at Applebee's were visiting. They were visiting their children or grandchildren. The people of Madison do a lot of riding on their high horse, which burns a lot of calories.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
I love Madison.
Okay.
But I'm the only SUV there when I go there, and everyone is very fit, and they know exactly what to eat, and they'll tell you what to eat, too.
They do walk. They do bike. It is a liberal bastion, no question. But amidst that, there are some health consciousness.
But I'm wondering.
I understand it's healthy, but number one in America? I mean, it's not South Beach. How is Madison, Wisconsin, number one in America?
But Drew,
all
you
that
need,
cheese,
you need...
the yogurt.
Drew, you need to.
You're
need
right.
To look,
you're
you
right.
You're in a river called denial right now, because you want to look at Madison, but you need to look in your home city of Detroit.
No.
Now, where were you on the list again?
We were dead last.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so hateful. Dead last.
He's going to strap that city on his back. He's going to start doing his fitness. And he's going to bring up Detroit.
Your neighbor is going to be the hero, because she looked at your physique and she said, you need this magazine, right? I mean,
well, Mark, let me. I got a twist at the end here. Okay. So we got our birthdays coming up this week.
Yeah, we do.
Right?
June 12th.
Saturday.
Both of us. Yes.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Man, the year just flew by since we found that out a year ago.
So you're a Wisconsinite. What are you doing on your birthday?
I will be at the Man Alive Expedition with Susan's future son-in-law. And basically, I've been hired to watch him. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But we'll both be there. So how about
on
you?
On my birthday, I'll be in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay.
Running a marathon.
Wow.
I mean, surely
our
I'm
hero.
Bringing the average up a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You're not just a counselor. You're not just a comedian. You are a man who is trying to save Detroit.
I'm clinging to youth. I'm just clinging to it.
Godspeed, my friend.
Where is your training at?
That's the thing. Detroit's a disaster for training. You know, there's like all these streets and street lights. It's a disaster. But I'll do it.
How many?
I'll tell you how
it is next
week.
Like, what's the last long? Like, what's how many miles?
I did 20 miles 2 weeks ago.
You did 20 miles 2 weeks ago. All right.
Yeah.
What about this weekend? What did you do?
I did 8 yesterday.
Okay.
That's got to be at least we're 98th on the list or something.
Yeah, I think you're upping the average. What is the? We got to wrap it up here. But what is your? What is the name of the marathon you're going to do?
It's called the Whitefish Point Marathon.
Okay.
And I don't want to. You know, I know we got to wrap up. One more thing. I have very big news for you next week. Very big news.
Wow.
I'm going to tease you.
Wow. You're going to make us wait the whole week? Yeah.
Very big news.
All right.
I can't wait.
You're going
to
love it.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Thank you, Drew. All right. Good luck with
the
marathon.
Great talking to you. Bye,
God's grace to you. Yeah, he's got a lot on his shoulders. I mean, a counselor, comedian, a married father of a young six-year-old, and trying to save Detroit.
Wow.
I mean, that's a heavy... And feeling the burden of Madison as the fittest city in the country.
It's that time. Every Monday, we get a little glimpse, a little window into the lives of Mark and Caleb and I, what happened this weekend. And I have to say, mine was pretty boring. I don't know why I was in such a hurry to get my sling off after my rotator cuff surgery, because now all I do is weed. I weed and drink ice water, and it was such a boring weekend. I didn't get invited to any grad parties or no recitals, so I want to hear, you guys, what'd you do this weekend?
Maybe Susan needs an invitation to a grad party so she doesn't have to weed this coming weekend.
Susan, I invite you to my daughter Grace's grad party on Saturday, June 19th.
Thank you.
So prepare now. McDonough
I'll be
Park.
There.
All right. Looking forward to it. We're still working on the menu.
With a little dirt under the fingernails, maybe, and grass stains on the knees, but she will
exactly.
be there.
Exactly. I'll be there.
I was at a grad party on Saturday afternoon. Not trying to rub salt in the
wound. No,
pool,
no,
anyhow,
that's okay.
Yeah,
living
so that was
vicariously
fun.
Through you. I can do it.
The pulled pork was good and great company. And then the Infinity Dance Recital was at Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. And both Elena and Michael getting a chance to see them perform.
Nice.
Michael and his hip-hop and Elena and her dance with her team as well. So they did a great job, and that was a lot of fun. Kind of getting the prep, the feel for OneFest, because the same location where they were, that's where the OneFest
that's right, at the fairgrounds, right.
July 23rd through the 25th. Well, this week there's Vacation Bible School at my church, Providence Church in Rice Lake. And so Saturday, it was really cool seeing everybody come together for decorating, and folks go all out. And so I was just kind of the helper, and I think so that's the highlight of my weekend, is seeing the planning and preparation that my wife put in. We have the hallway, the long hallway, if you go, and again, all are welcome to attend, where the kids' classrooms are, and it was an ocean theme. It's supposed to be underwater. And so the hours and hours that my wife put in planning and then buying the materials and then implementing this too. So basically, I was the guy with a long reach who could, you know, hang stuff and tape and things like that. But if you happen to go there to our VBS, if you see that and are impressed by it, don't think that Caleb had anything to do with planning other than just put this there. And I'm so proud of my wife and what she's able to accomplish with things like that too, because I just do not have that ability. I don't have the ability to think creatively, and it's like, how can we turn this space into something that are going to make little kids go in and say, wow, I'm underwater. And we got to see that even at church yesterday too. And so again, I just want to brag on my wife a little bit too, because I think she's something special.
Well deserved.
Team
absolutely.
Swenson.
And all of that work just to make those kids really be dazzled, and that abundant love that is poured into creating an environment like that. They're not going to forget that.
For so many years, we brought our kids to Bethesda for the VBS particularly. And so it had such a great reputation. So I wish you well. Again, one more time, where is that at? And it's 9:30 this morning.
Yeah, 9:30 to noon, Monday through Friday this week, Providence Church in Rice Lake, 23 West Eau Claire Street. I will be there, taking a little time off, be there for some reinforcement volunteer help Wednesday through Friday. But again, I know this has been prayed over, and I know it's going to be exhausting for everyone working, but it's to be able to share the love and joy of Jesus with kids from in our church and from the community. So all are welcome, and looking forward to that.
Nice.
Terrific. My kids are probably headed up shortly, actually.
Well, in our family, we are about to hear wedding bells chime for my daughter, Catherine, in August. So this caught my eye in the news. It says five biggest mistakes that newlyweds make. Mm. And I have to say, I think it's good for any marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the five mistakes that newlyweds make. Here's the first mistake. Don't be an over-talker. Don't have disagreements with your mate and talk endlessly without arriving at an agreed solution. Do create closure with a concrete plan of action so the problem doesn't recur. Fighting daily about who takes out the garbage, blah, blah, blah. Take charge and say, okay, let's create a shared calendar indicating each of our daily responsibilities.
Yeah, self-disclosure. My wife and I are on our honeymoon. It's 1998. It's Door County. And the first conflict we had as married folk was over hypotheticals, over whether the kids would be involved in sports or music. And so we kind of learned early on, like, hypotheticals, throw that out. So that would be over-talking if you're talking about that.
Yeah.
Also, don't be a drill sergeant. Don't give your mate orders such as, you have to buy milk for our morning coffee. Do make requests like, can you please buy milk for our morning coffee? Or actually, go get hazelnut creamer would be my recommendation.
Five biggest mistakes newlyweds make. How about this one? Don't complain without impact, meaning don't complain by saying what you don't want, as in, I don't want to go there for dinner. Do complain with impact. For instance, say what you want, as in, I don't really feel like this, like Chinese tonight, but I do want to go to the Italian restaurant near the train station, is what they're saying. Seems like they eat out a lot in this example.
But it is good. You don't want to just be negative, negative without offering a solution.
And that's the thing, too, because sometimes it just seems like, you know, whether tearing down things or circumstances or situations, redeem that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, how about this one? On the Wib Wake Up Show, these are five biggest mistakes newlyweds make. Don't tune out. Don't listen to your mate talk and then keep silent without offering verbal responses. Tune in. Ask simple questions that start with W, like who, what, where, when, and or why, to show that you're interested and understand what your mate is saying.
No, it's good stuff. Yeah. Absolutely.
And don't look at your phone all the time. Eye contact's good.
Yes.
All good stuff there. And finally, don't leave room for mind reading. Don't assume your mate knows what you want just because you're married.
Yes.
Do be specific and say, orchids are my favorite flower and I really love it when you buy them for me on special
occasions.
Aww. Oh, why did Susan have to add the one about the phone? Because I'm like 7 years now and it's like, put the phone away, Caleb. Yeah. Like, it's just, yeah. Yeah.
I don't say, Phil, put the phone down. I just yell, eye contact. And he knows. Put the phone down. All right. Now we all will have happy marriages.
Yeah.
Newlyweds.
Happily ever after.
There you go. Okay.